Amen. Give God a praise clap this morning. He's a good God. You know, I love that song. When I'm at my worst, when it hurts the most, He's still constant. Amen. And He's still good. And He doesn't leave us or He forsakes us. And that is a good, good promise. You know, we are just a few weeks away from maybe one of the greatest times for us as a church and as Christians in the whole year. And that is the season, that is the holiday of Easter. And for us as Christians, Easter is one of the greatest celebrations because it's when we believe that Jesus died and He rose again. And guys, listen, without the resurrection, okay, there is no faith. But with the resurrection, it's everything that matters in our lives, and it means everything. So we want to prepare ourselves over the next 3 weeks to be ready for the Easter season and to be ready for what God has for us in Easter. So take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5. We're beginning a new series today called The Main Connection. The Main Connection, talking about who Jesus is and how He connects us to God. Romans chapter 5. Looking at verse 5, starting in verse 6, the Bible reads this, and you should have your notes there in front of you. You can follow along. Scripture will be on the screen. For while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves His own love for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. Much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by His blood, we will be saved through Him from wrath. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Father, may You bless the Word of God. May it do more than what anyone else in this room can do. May it speak to us. And Father, may You, Lord, teach us from it today. We love You, and we pray this in Your name. Amen. This chapter of Scripture is from the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, it talks a whole lot about our connection with God. You know, we as a church, we desire to be. We have it on our front of our program. We have it at our ministry center. We have it on T-shirts. That we want to be a connecting, caring, and changing church. And I begin to think about our little slogan that we had approaching Easter. You know, really, if you don't connect first, if you don't have connection first, you can't really care for people. And if you don't have connection, you can't really change the world. You can't even make a difference. So the very most important thing for us today is to get this connection part down. To understand connection. Now, you're no stranger to connection. Because we live in a world where we literally survive off of connection. Anybody thankful today that gas is connected to your house when it was snowing outside and you had to have heat? Were you thankful for that connection? Were you, now, and while you were in the house and you were kind of just getting cabin feverish, weren't you glad your mobile device was connected to your router, which was connected to the internet to stop you from going to death of boredom, right? You can't get somebody worse, more angry than you take their cell phones away from them or their internet doesn't work. I mean, it's just all out war when that happens, you know, when the connection is severed. I mean, we know all about connections. We know that connections are vital. When we put gas in our car and it connects to the engine and it creates a spark and combustion, it makes us go. Connection is so important that your brain is connected to parts of your body and your heart, and they're working in connection together to make sure you're alive. So if you think today that you can live your life completely independent, without any use of connection, I'm telling you right now, you can't, okay? You've got to be connected to live. Even at the bare essentials that your brain's connected to your heart and making it work. See, you know, connection is important. And we're often fed the lie that we can live in isolation. That we don't need other people. We don't need relationships. We don't need God. But yet it's all false. You know, one thing I think about the main connection, and that's the title of this series that we're starting, the main connection of how we are completely grounded and connected to the Lord, is that, you know, I think of like a surge protector. You can have your TV plugged into that, your computer plugged into that, your charging device plugged into that. But if that surge protector is not connected to the main power source, none of it works. I mean, this morning when we were setting up for church, and this is what blows my mind. I mean, you're looking at sound equipment and amplifiers and the soundboard, and I'm learning a little bit about this stuff, but not much. But these amplifiers, which gives us so much problems, amen, Michael Funk, you know, they give us so much problems. But yet, the amplifiers make power go out. So lights will work, and soundboards will work, and the guitars will work. And there's all these little plugs up here on the stage. And you got to be careful. You'll trip right over them. You know what I mean? But they're all up here. And here's what's crazy. You just go behind that curtain, pull one plug, whoomp. It's all over. All this stuff stops working because of a plug behind that curtain. Now, why is that? Because a main connection fuels everything else. It's very true the same way in our lives. Our marriages, the way we live, the way we interact with people, they're all plugged into this giant surge protector. It's plugged into something a lot better, and that's the main power source. And when you're connected to the main power source, it is the energy and the power and the strength and the wisdom and everything you need to survive life. But the problem is that many of us are living our lives right now disconnected. We are not connected to what is necessary for us to live as human beings. We are disconnected, and we are a people that are disconnected. And as a result of that, our marriages fall apart. We suffer with guilt. We suffer with shame, all because we're disconnected. The Bible would teach us that at the beginning of time, when God made Adam, that Adam was made perfect. And then when Eve was taken from Adam, that she too was perfection. And at that time, they had everything they needed. Everything. But they were told by God, don't go hanging around that tree and don't you eat that fruit. And of all the trees in that garden, where were they hanging out at? The one tree that got them in trouble. And they listened to the lies of the devil and they disobeyed God. And it was at that moment that something happened. Adam and Eve spiritually died. The Bible says that a spiritual death happened. See, God told them it would happen, but the serpent lied to them and said, you know, if you eat this, you're not going to die. Yeah, their hearts didn't stop beating, but something worse happened. Their spirits died. It died right inside of them. And now we are the children of Adam and Eve. And we are in the line and the lineage of Adam and Eve. And all of us today have the same problem that Adam and Eve had. And that problem is that we are spiritually dead people. You read in the book of Romans, we are a disconnected people. I think if you got your outline, look at this the first little blank here. It says, man is sinful. Man is sinful. Let me just read some scriptures. I think they may be on the screen. You may have to follow quickly, Tanner, but just listen to what the Bible says about our spiritual condition. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is no one righteous, not even one. Isaiah 53:6 says, we all went astray like sheep. We have all turned to our own way. Look at the next verse in Isaiah 64:6. And it says this. It says, Isaiah 64:6, all of us become unclean. And all our righteous acts are like a polluted garment. Isaiah says, everything good you try, every good deed you try, your righteousness is like filthy rags, is what it says. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? Our hearts are full of disease. It's full of wickedness. It's full of sin. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As I read this scripture, it tells us that all of us are sick. All of us have failed God. We've all busted up the Ten Commandments. We've all done it. We've failed God. We've disobeyed God. We now stand in judgment of God. And if this wasn't bad enough, that man is sinful. Listen to this. This is the next little blank on your program. But God's different from us because God is a holy God. See, man is sinful, but God is holy. So when the Lord had to eject Adam and Eve out of the garden, he had to do that because he was a holy God, and now they were unholy. They were sinful, and they were full of wickedness, and they were full of evil, and they were divided. Today, because of our sin, we are divided from God. We are disconnected. We are like an iPhone with a cord sticking out of us, ready to do all kinds of good stuff, amazing stuff, but the battery's dead. And there's no power. And with all of this potential, it sits there. All this potential. But does nothing. Because it's disconnected. So, here's a big problem. We're sinful, God's holy, and it even gets worse. Everybody, welcome to Life Community. We'll depress you this morning, amen? Look what it says in Leviticus 19:2. Speak to the entire Israelite community, God tells Moses, and tell them, can we just read this together? Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Uh-oh. Houston, we got a problem. God has commanded us to be holy, but guess what? We ain't. We're far from it. Look at all those Bible verses we just looked at. We're sinful, we're incurable, we're sick, we've all turned away from God, we've all chased after other things. Guys, I hate to tell you this, but you're evil. You're evil. You got evilness in your heart. You got evilness in your genes. You're sinful. So the big question is, oh my goodness, God tells me to be holy before Him, but yet I'm so unholy. What's the deal? I mean, how does my connection to God get reestablished? How am I reconnected? In the Old Testament, God had required the Israelite community to offer sacrifices. And the reason they offered these sacrifices, the sacrifices themselves could never forgive their sin. The book of Hebrews tells us that the blood of bulls and the blood of goats could never wipe away sin. But yet the sacrifices were done to remind the people of how sinful they were. That when you sin against God and you disobey God, there is a consequence to that. There is a life to be taken for that. So sure enough, they would take that goat and they would lay their hands on that goat or that sheep, symbolically transferring their sin to that goat, just symbolically. And they'd take that animal into the Holy of Holies and it would slaughter it before the Lord. See, sin has consequences. Sin's messy. The holiness of God, us trying to come back to God. But yet, even though they would sacrifice those animals in the Old Testament and blood would be everywhere, there was never enough to forgive their sin. Never enough to forgive their sin. Not enough. Now, it reminded them that their sin had consequences. Don't you think every time you sin, you had to slice a sheep's neck open, that would remind you of consequences? Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Amen. Don't you think that would remind you that your sin has a high price to pay? Oh my goodness. You know, Easter with those cute little lambs just wouldn't be the same, would it? You know, just wouldn't be the same. But yet with all that, man has tried and tried and tried to resever this connection. They've tried and tried and tried to replug back in on their own. And they try lots of good stuff to try to plug in. Stuff that sounds like it makes sense when it doesn't. Well, I'll outgive God from my sin. I'll make penance for my sin. I did this amount of sin and I'll pay God back. That sounds good. Okay? Sounds good. But here's a question. How do you atone for all the stuff that you've done when you still continue to do bad stuff? How do you do that? Or I'll give enough money, and when I give enough money, that will absolve my sin. Now, wait a second. Wait a second. How can you give enough money to a God who owns everything? How do you do that? Or I'll go to church. That's great, but listen, I love you. Some of the meanest people I've ever met are church people. All right? I'll tell you right now. Going to church, I liked what Keith Green said. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian as much as going to McDonald's doesn't make you a cheeseburger. We need the church because we grow together and love each other and learn about the Lord together. But church doesn't save you. Well, I was baptized. It's just water. I had somebody tell me I was going to heaven. That's great, but was it Jesus? See, we try so much to reestablish the connection on our own when really we are lifeless. I'm so thankful for this passage of Scripture we read that in our sin, and look at it in verse 8. I love what it says. But God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. You ready? You can't cure yourself, but Jesus Christ can cure you. See, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus went to the cross, He was the spotless Lamb of God. It makes more sense when you call Him the spotless Lamb of God because of the Old Testament connection with the lambs and sacrifice. And when the nails went through His hands and His feet and a crown of thorns on His head, and He suffered and bled as a 33-year-old young man on the cross, completely naked, suffering and dying. The Bible says that the sins of the world were upon Him. We can't understand that. It's beyond us. It's above us to think that He was being punished for every rotten thing that everyone's ever done. That was the punishment on Jesus. Why do we have a cross when we worship? We don't worship the cross, but it reminds us that the blood of Jesus had to make us righteous. God is holy. We need the blood. Look at the next little blank here. We need the blood of Jesus. There's only one thing that can wipe away our sins. Just one. And it's the blood of Jesus. Well, Kenny, I don't like this blood talk. It's too messy. It's too old-fashioned. It's too offensive. We're trying to grow a church. We don't want anybody to get offended. But guys, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no gospel without blood. There's no good news without blood. Because it was the life of Christ. Blood is life flowing inside of us. And when Jesus gave up His blood, He gave up His life. And when that blood flowed out, it was symbolic of saying that the death of Jesus had to cover us. Today, the connection that brings us back to God, you ready, is the blood of Jesus. And when the blood of Jesus is in our lives and applied to our lives spiritually, hear me on this. The Bible says that you're a changed person. Now, this is what blows my mind. Remember all those scriptures we talked about? How ungodly we are and how evil we are? When the blood of Jesus comes into us, look what it says in Romans 5. Look what it says. It says in verse 9, much more then, since we have now been declared what? Righteous. By His blood. You ready for this? Because of the blood of Jesus, if you believe in God and in Christ and His sacrifice and resurrection, the blood of Jesus covers you. And you ready for this? You are no longer viewed as a sinner. You're no longer viewed as evil. You're no longer viewed as corrupt. When God the Father looks at you, you know what He sees? A righteous son or daughter. Some of you look in the mirror and you don't see that, do you? I know I don't. When I look in the mirror, I don't see somebody that's righteous. Sometimes I see people who think they're righteous, amen. But I don't look in the mirror and think, oh, look how holy Kenny is. But yet in the mystery of the blood of Jesus, when God sees us, He sees Donna as holy, Nathan as holy, Selena as holy, Michael as holy, Carl as holy, Mark and Sam is holy because of Jesus. Anybody else just blown away today? I am. The righteousness of God is on your life. But Kenny, I didn't do anything to earn that righteousness. Absolutely you didn't. Jesus did it for you. Jesus did it for you. This sounds too good to be true. Well, just buckle on down. It just gets better. Look, because of the blood of Jesus, look what it does to our lives. Real quick, from the scriptures, from this passage, I want you to see three things that happens because blood and righteousness are on your life. First, I want you to see this, that we are redeemed. because of the blood of Jesus and because it makes us righteous, we are a redeemed people. The second half of 5:9 says this, we will be saved through him from wrath. Meaning what? That we will not experience the wrath of God because we've been saved and we are right and we are righteous because of the blood of Jesus. God is holy. The natural response to sin, if you are holy, is to punish sin. How could a loving God send people to hell? People ask that question. Let me ask you this. How could a just and holy God not send people to hell? Let me explain that. If God was not just and holy, he would never have to punish sin because a crime would go unpunished. But let me ask you a question. If God lets a crime go unpunished, is that a good God or is that a bad God? Do you want to serve a God that lets injustice and lets evil things run rampant without any say on it? See, God is also good. Now, he's good and fair and just and also loving, and we'll get to that. But God has to punish sin. If not, he's not fair. He's not holy. But yet we see that because of Jesus, when Jesus was on the cross, this is mystifying, it's amazing, but here's what happens. You ready? When Jesus is on the cross, the wrath of God is on the Son. All of the punishment, all of the punishment of our sins and God's anger towards sin is on Jesus. That's why Jesus says, Father, Father, why have you what? Forsaken me. And why is that? Because when at that moment in history, when God the Father looked at God the Son, he saw your sin. And a holy God turned his back on Jesus. Why? Because of you. Because of you. So today, there is no fear of death. There is no fear of hell for those that believe in Jesus Christ. We have been forgiven and we have been redeemed. And here's what's great. God just doesn't save you from hell. He saves you for a lot of other stuff too. When you give your life to Jesus, he gives you worth and value, and great things can happen in your life. I think of the big five. You're made to worship God. You're made to minister or to help people. You're made to be a disciple, to grow closer to God. You're made to fellowship with your church family, and you were made to evangelize or tell the gospel and tell other people about Jesus. If you give your life to Christ, every one of you has a purpose to live. He has saved you for a purpose and to do great things. Listen, because of the blood of Jesus, we are righteous and we're redeemed. We got a reason to live. Every one of us should be happy. Second, not only are we redeemed, we are also reconciled to God. Because of the blood and because of the righteousness of God that comes onto our life, because of Jesus, we are reconciled with God. It says in verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we are reconciled to God through the death of his Son. He's saying this, when you were in anger against God and he still died for you and you believed and you trusted, though you had sinned, how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? See, Jesus just didn't die on the cross, the end. He died and rose from the grave. And because of that, he stands as a living Jesus, interacting with us, communing with us through the Holy Spirit, leading us and doing great things with us all the time. This is amazing. See, when we give our lives to Jesus, not only are our sins forgiven through the blood of Jesus, our relationship with God the Father is restored. See, Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden. They're not walking with God anymore. Jesus dies on the cross. He resurrects. Now we walk with God again. That's why we're able to pray and to talk with God and to commune with God, because we have a relationship with God. You know, in the Bible, in the New Testament, we are even encouraged to pray to God as Abba Father. See, the Old Testament Jew would have never, ever, ever said Abba Father when they were praying, ever. Because Abba, you know what Abba means? Anybody know what the word Abba means? Daddy. Abba, Abba, Abba. I got a little hope right now that says dad-da, dad-da, mama, mama. Abba was a term for daddy because it was a very common word that little ones could say. Abba, 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 Abba. And because of Jesus and we're reconciled, you ready for this? We can come to God the Father and say, Daddy. Daddy. You're my daddy. We're close. And what's great about the reconciliation of God, I want you just to listen to Hebrews 7:25. It says this, therefore he is able, that is Jesus, to save those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them. Here's what's wild. As a Christian, my Jesus not only forgave me when I became a Christian and I believe in Jesus, but the Bible says that he lives now interceding for the Father on my behalf. That every dumb, bonehead mistake that I've made as a Christian after I was saved, the Bible says that he's standing before God the Father, still praying for me and making a case for me. Why do I believe once saved, always saved, or eternal security? Because of that verse right there. You give your life to Jesus, he just doesn't pull out from you. He stays with you, talking to God the Father for you. Boy, that's good stuff. Aren't you glad that when you made that dumb decision this week, Christian, who made a dumb decision? Raise your hand. If you're lying, you're making one right now. Raise your hand. You made a dumb decision. Aren't you glad that when you made that dumb decision this week, if you know Jesus, the Father was talking or the Son was talking to the Father, and he said, God, the Father, don't hold that against them because the blood of Jesus is on their life. Blows me away. The blood of Jesus makes us righteous, which means that we're redeemed, we're reconciled. But next, listen to this, and I love this, and I love it so much that if you don't get excited, I'm leaving. All right? I'll go find someplace else. No, I'm just kidding. We what? Rejoice. Amen. And not only that, but we also what, church? And we what? We rejoice. Man, wake up. I love y'all. It's good stuff. In God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have now received this reconciliation. Listen, Paul says, because the blood of Jesus is in our life and we're made righteous before God, he says there's one response. We celebrate. We rejoice. You know, every day when we get up, and you know, some of y'all have pain that you deal with every day, or you have family problems you deal with every day, you have marital issues, you have money issues. Here's the good news. Every day you wake up as a Christian, you wake up saved. And you wake up righteous. And that's a reason to celebrate God. That's a reason to rejoice. Because Jesus has died for you. And the blood is in your life. This is what it's all about, guys. This is why we preach. This is why we get here early to set up church. This is why we're wandering in the wilderness right now till God gives us something else. It's all about this, what I'm talking about. This is why we do what we do. Y'all with me? It's to help people reestablish the main connection. It's to help them get back to the main connection, and that is God. And I believe that when you're plugged into the Lord, he's going to grow your life. He's going to teach you. He's going to shine through you. All kinds of good stuff. He's going to give you more life than you ever thought you needed. And he's going to walk with you. And it's the main connection that God wants you to have. But the only way you can be connected, the only way is through Jesus Christ. Now what happens? What happens when we don't have connection? What happens? We lose power. Kids, just stay put. Go ahead, Stephen. We live in darkness. And those today that don't know Jesus are in darkness. They're isolated from God. They're struggling. They try many things to get out of darkness. But there's only one answer. There's only one way to be connected, and that's through the cross of Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no forgiveness. There is no reconciliation or redemption until we come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I need you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose again. Come into my life and save me. Have you done that today? When you do, light begins to shine, doesn't it? Things start clicking. Things start coming on. What was once dark now becomes light. All because Jesus shed his blood for us. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? As our praise team comes, maybe today you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never had the blood applied to your heart. That's the last little blank there, the blood applied to your heart. But listen closely, with heads bowed and eyes closed. If today you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to celebrate and to rejoice in him. But if you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you today to give your life to Christ, to know him in a real and saving way. Maybe you need to pray this prayer with me for the very first time. It goes like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I can do nothing on my own. But I believe Jesus died for me and rose again. Lord, forgive me of my sin. I want to turn from it. Come into my life and save me. I pray in your name. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, maybe today somebody prayed that for the very first time, asking Jesus to bring them connection back into their hearts. If you did that today, would you just, no one's going to call you out or point you out or embarrass you, but just so you can admit today, would you raise your hand and say, Kenny, I did that today. I prayed to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. If you did that today, you were connected to God through Jesus. And I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you when we start to sing, to step out of that seat. We have deacons up here that can receive you. And if you pray to receive Jesus, I want you just to come out of that seat, not to be ashamed, because it doesn't matter what people think. We're not going to pull you up here. But I think it's important that you would tell everybody about the main connection that happened today. So I pray for you. God, give them strength and courage. And maybe others want to come today, Lord, just to pray and rejoice in their salvation. How we love you. We pray in your name. Amen. Let's stand. Would you come, if you prayed to receive Christ today, would you come and take me by the hand or one of our deacons by the hand? Would you come? Don't be afraid. Would you step out as we sing today?